totally just love it. Are we on there? Now, are we recording? Okay. I'm going to put this, they asked me to put this up a little higher, so I'm going to see what I can do where you guys could hear me better. And I don't know if you might. Millie, what did you, what was the deal? Some of them couldn't.
A couple people came up to me and told me that we need your husband to talk louder.
Talk louder. Okay. Can you hear me, Jeremiah? Larry says put it up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I won't scream. If I scream, I'll give you a heads up first. I'm about to scream. Okay. Amen and amen and amen. I want to share tonight on a subject that I'm hoping that there'll be time where we can pray over some of you folks. I've asked the praise and worship team if they would help me tonight. You know, they're on fire for God. And that fire, we've been building that fire up line upon line. Precept, just here a little, there a little. And at times, they needed a little correction on some things, but they're doing good. Just get ready to move, girls. I think the Holy Spirit might want to work and move on some folks in here tonight. But I've got something pressing on my heart, and you might have this too. I'm going to read starting at Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to read, these are the words of the disciples and Jesus. I'm going to start here in verse 3, where the word of God says, and I want you to, like never before, I think you'll grow if you begin to feed on the word of God, feed on the promises of God. And we'll continue to talk to you about how to do that. Yeah, sit right there, son. I'm so happy to see you tonight. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm just happy to see you. And we're going to start with the disciples speaking in verse 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Somebody say amen right there. And I'm going to preach a message to you. And for gosh sakes, this is not all inclusive. This isn't really enough to whet your appetite, but it'll make you think about it. Here's the title of my message. Tell me what I need to know about the end of the world, out of the words of Jesus. How many of you have followed and seen what's happening over in Israel and the war, the atrocities, things that are shocking modern people? And I don't even want to say some of the terrible things that they're doing. The Hamas, and they're terrorists, and that's what they are. And they're cowards, and they're funded by Iran. And I'll just stop right there. That's enough. And if that offends anybody that's hearing this message, well, God bless you. And I don't know, you might need to move over there to Iran if you really like them people that much. But Jesus answered right there, looking at verse 21. Jesus said this. Now I'm going to tell you, Matthew 24, Johnny Cash wrote a song when I first got saved. It was called Matthew 24 is Knocking at Your Door. And you know, there's a special about Johnny Cash and his true redemption that he's had before he went to be with the Lord. And he truly got saved. And I want you to know something. Everybody in this room, God loves you. God's not looking down on anybody. You know, how can somebody who gave his only begotten son look down on anybody? He had a burning passion in his heart to redeem fallen mankind. And that's what it's all about. But Jesus, I'm just going to read two little verses. And if you want to read something that will help you about end time events, read Matthew 24. And I'm going to read verse 21 here. And Jesus said here, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be again. See? There are some things that are going to come to a head. And I don't know how unpleasant it's going to get for Americans, But I just want to say this here. America is not excluded from the tribulation period and the things that happen in the Bible. We're a sinful nation. We've gone from salvation to sin in America. And we, not everybody, people like us, we just need to keep on holding on to God and holding on to the Spirit of God and drink that Holy Ghost into us and help change this world for the better. And then in the next verse, Jesus said this, and except those days be shortened, there would be no flesh to be saved. If Jesus didn't intervene when he's about to intervene, we have the ability to destroy ourselves, every last one of us. And if certain countries get a hold of nuclear power, they will demonstrate that to us. Who are they against mostly? I'm going to tell you, the whole world pivots on, just like a basketball in somebody's hand, pivots on Israel and Jerusalem. And unless those days were shortened, everybody would perish. But then the word says this, for the elect's sake, for the people that love God, for the children of God, because of them, I'm not going to let that happen, says the living God. Make no mistake about this. God is in control. And sometimes he just takes his hands off of things and shows you what it's like when the devil is in control of certain things. And we don't want that. None of us want that. None of us do. But because of the elect's sake, because of my sons and my daughters, those days will be shortened. You know, the whole of the tribulation period, which many of you know about, is no longer than 7 years. And it's over. And as Jesus returns toward the end of that, the Antichrist will be smitten, will die at the brightness of his coming, setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives. That's what it says in the book of Thessalonians. How great thou art, honey. He is awesomely great. There's nobody like him. Always understand something about your adversary, the devil. He's part of creation. He was created by God with the other angels. Now, God himself, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're not part of creation. They are the creators. They've always been. Now, I can't fathom that. All I can do is just believe it. I just concede to believe that God is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he can do, that he is, I am who he says I am. And I can have what he says I can have. And I can live like he says I can live. You know, recently, a couple of years ago, I think it was in 2020, hon, that I took that fall. I had that problem, that brain bleed. I don't know what it did to me, but it did something. And you might have watched me over the last couple, 3 years. At first, I couldn't do this here. I couldn't walk on the stage. And I sure couldn't walk down. And people, God bless your hearts, would help me and want to get me and help me down. But I can do that now. And I'll tell you what I recently did. Would you guys pray for me if I asked you to pray? No. I need prayer, and I'll tell you why. I got to noticing here a couple years ago. I started hunting with Larry Turner, Sherry's dad. And when I got out in the woods and I got on uneven ground, just a little bit, I would fall. Larry just take me and drag me and pick me up and say, come on now. But you know, I'll tell you what I've done. I told myself, and this is what I want you to hear. If there's something on you, something that you're going through, I said, I ain't going to stay like this. And I want you to say in your heart, every one of you, you ain't going to stay busted, disgusted, and can't even be trusted. You're going to be blessed and you're going to be a mess. And you're going to give all the glory to God. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I just started working at that. Just started believing God. I didn't say, well, I better not try to do that. I can't do that. See, I don't know that. That's not in my vocabulary. I'm sorry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. That's in my repertoire. That's what I eat. I eat it all the time. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And then I just go a few more verses. Am I going to be busted? No. Why? Because Philippians 4:19 says this, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches, according to what he has, not what I have. What does he have? The silver is mine. The gold is mine. All the cattle are mine. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everybody that dwells therein, every demon, every angel, every person, every bit of life, it belongs to God. And I guarantee you, he is not out of control. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, I believe it says this, and God will shortly put Satan under your feet. That's where he's supposed to be in your life. Don't you let that bully get his bushwhacking ways over you. You're the winner. Let me tell you something. Satan is the biggest loser in the world, because at this time, there is only one being that is named by name that is going to the lake of fire. There's nobody else that's named. So he is defeated already. All you have to do is sheriff that, deputize that in your own life. The Word of God says this, and it's not an idle boast. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Greek says, if you resist Satan, with what? With Ephesians chapter 6 stuff. Put on the whole armor of God, stuff like that. Resist the devil, the Word says, and Satan will run in complete terror away from you. See, the most deadly thing is somebody that wakes up in the morning and they know who they are in Jesus. Amen? And we here want you to know that. We're here to equip you in that way and to assist you any way that we can to get you to grow. Now, I'm going to read Matthew 24, and I'm going to read 33 through 35. It's just right here. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see these things, know that the end is near, that it's even at your doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, what generation? See, there was a generation that all these things were going to begin to happen. And that's this generation. What was part of it? 1948, the Jewish people went back to their homeland. Hamas couldn't stop them. Egypt couldn't stop them. Syria couldn't stop them. The whole world couldn't stop them. Why? Because if God be for you, Romans 8:31, who can be against you? Nobody, y'all. Nobody, beloved. If God's for you, you need to wake up and just make this one thing sure. When you get up out of bed, God's for me. Well, recently, I had this great idea, and it's concerned people, so I'm going to share with it because I want you to pray for me. I'm catching a healing. I'm being healed. How many can tell I can get up and down those stairs better? I just recently bought a motorcycle. I love motorcycles. I've driven them all my life. I've driven them with the good guys and the bad guys. Part of my testimony is, well, I was in a gang on the east side of San Jose, California, and we had to go ask the San Jose chapter of the Hell's Angels permission to fly our colors, which we did get. I raced motocross. I just have always loved motorcycles. Well, I recently got this one. It's kind of a funny story. But I was driving it home, and I got it all the way to where I pull into my driveway. And see, it's an unbalanced ground, like this here. And I just laid it down. I just laid it down. And I thought, oh, well. And I thought, what was that? And then, now, I'm going to tell you a funny story. And Sabrina won't mind me telling this. But then I was going to go up out of there. See, if you notice my driveway, it goes up like this here. And I stopped my motorcycle. And at a complete stop, I just laid it over. And guess who came and helped me and Millie pick it up? Our neighbor, Sabrina Self. He'd come with a baby on her hip. I'm coming, Brother Angelo. and just help us pick that thing up again. But I don't want you to be concerned, because I'll tell you this here. If I sense that I'm wrong in any way in owning a motorcycle, I'll get rid of you. And you know, right now, praise and worship team, can y'all hear me still pretty good? You guys up there with me, come over here with me. Ernie, I believe with all my heart, the Holy Spirit, come over here, wants to pray for you. I want the praise and worship team to come up here. Would that be okay, Ernie?
Yeah.
Let them go. Y'all get around him. Just let me get in front of him. I want everybody to, yeah. You love him. Put your hands on him. Put your hands on him. If there's anybody else that wants to come up here and pray for Brother Ernie, you all just come on. Come on, little fella. Ernie, I'm going to share something with you. I believe God wants to add years and health to your life. I believe that. And you know what I believe the devil wants to do? Yeah. Nothing good. So I'm just going to have you girls pray and release that Holy Spirit. Yeah, anybody that wants to pray, y'all, come on. I just wanted this praise and worship team. How many of you realize that they brought the praise and worship team, they brought that Holy Ghost Sunday night? Amen. 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 Now I'm going to pray. Yeah, Millie, and you come over here. Anybody that wants to, you come on over here. I mean that. This is part of the service. This might be the most important part of the service. Hallelujah. Will anybody get offended if I pray in tongues? Millie, come up here with me if you can, hon. Anybody, if the whole church came. Hey, Ernie, come on over here. Just come on up here. Come on up here. Come on right here where more people can get around you. Just stand in front of me, dear brother. This is important. Yeah, y'all come around here. Let me get right over in front of him. Billy, I'm going to pray, and then I want you to pray. Yeah, y'all get you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father in heaven, Ernie, we just release the power of God to your life to help you, to help your blood pressure, to help things that I don't understand, but God understands. Brother, right now, we're not going to go see Dr. Kirkendall. I love him. I went and saw him. We're calling on the great physician. His name is Jesus. He never loses a case. If we can, Brother Autry used to tell me, Ernie, if you can get Jesus to take your case, you know, Jesus never loses a case. And Millie, I want you right now, I'm going to get this microphone. I want people to hear this. I want you to pray some of that nurse jargon. Here, take this microphone, sweetie, and pray something good for him.
Father, I just want to speak to this heart right now, Father. Father, there be a healing that takes place, whether there's a problem with his rhythm, his rate, Father, the firing of that SA node, Father, the contractions, Father, the cause that set that rate and rhythm for him, Father.
Yes, God.
And his blood pressure, Father. Father, that finished work of Jesus Christ,
yes,
on
God,
the cross has healed Ernie. He has his healing already, Father,
yes,
in you. And we just thank you for it, Father. We're looking to the praise report that's coming, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
People, that's up here, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, Ernie. Okay, let's go back to the Word. I'm going to get through this little short note that'll wet your whistle, because I don't have too many verses. Okay, the next place I want to go is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the New Living Translation. And I'm going there in here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. All right. That's the NLT. Yeah. Let's see here. I need to go right. One more Timothy over. You've heard of one toke over the line? This is a... If you know that, you ain't always been a little gem, have you? I'll tell you what, we in California, we had a saying. When the cops stopped us, I remember one time, well, we just had some stuff we shouldn't have had. We ate it. And the cop, got us, and it was dark, and he took the flashlight, and he put it on my friend's. He goes, "You have a seed on your lip." And he went, "Find it." And this, we had a saying. This is how lost we were as a kid. This is what I had to come out of. Forward, never straight. Okay. You think it'll affect our young ones? I'll tell you. I think we'd all be surprised if we knew what they saw. Anyway, I'm going to read out of Timothy right now. And I'm preaching a message. Tell me what I need to know about the end of the world. The exact words of the disciples. And I'm just going to share this with you right here. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. You know, we had an event happen here. I've never heard of it. Shocked me. Over in Subiaco, at the Subiaco church over there, when somebody came in there just drugged out, just demonized and drugged out, went and broke. What are those things called?
The altar.
Just broke it open. There were things, artifacts that was in that, Frank, am I right? That was there for hundreds of years. If I was going to commit a crime, I mean, what's wrong with that? You know what that is? That's the devil. That's Satan. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do to our lives. And the best defense for us is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, not visit, but shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory to God. I want to stay right under the shadow of God. I want to be so close to him that I'm within his shadow's breath. Amen? And when the devil wants to come against me, he's going to have to come against the Creator. The Creator never lost. He's never lost one battle. And I'm telling you, I plan on being able to ride that motorcycle. I saw a man 108 years old dancing on Facebook. I don't know if anybody else see that. There's one. 108. I want to dance like that when I'm 108. What? Anybody can do this now. Man, them girls was up there jumping and in the Holy Ghost Sunday night, were they not? Who got blessed by that? Woo! So, I'll read just a little bit further here. I'll pick up at verse 3. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. You have no idea what a pastor goes through. The slander that they receive. People will come at them and they'll take all the goodies that we, and then they'll talk about them and backstab them behind their back. And I tell you something, that ain't going to hold up. Where the presence of God is, that won't hold up. Some people will be dealt with. And I've said all of that to say this. I ain't worried about me. I still get the same thing. But my daughter is precious. You have a precious gift here. There ain't nobody like her in Logan County. There ain't nobody like her in the River Valley. And we're just getting started. Stay with us. Be planted. Don't be pulled away by things that people say that are crazy and that are hateful and that will take with one hand and shoot their mouth off and say bad things about the church. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. Hey, everybody should have at least 6 or 8 hobbies. My motto has been, since I became a man, the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Now, I'm preaching a message. I took it off to the words of the disciples. Tell me what I need to know about the end of the world. And Put up, fellas, Psalm 122, verses 6 through 9 in the New Living Translation. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. I put this Bible verse on Facebook. Some of you saw that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. These are the words of Jesus, of David. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. What can we do? What can we do about what's happening over there? Now, there's people from America that have gone over there. See, Jewish people, a lot of Jewish people. That's their homeland, okay? There's people in Wisconsin slandering the Jewish people, speaking, they're pro-Hamas, who took babies and cut their heads off just a few days ago. Now, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to be for that, and I know you aren't either. But sometimes you just wonder, what can I do? See, the word says this. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. We can pray. Sending money, good? Yep. Going over there and giving your life for it? Yeah. Ain't nothing like prayer, though. You know what? Satan knows if you learn the skill of prayer, fervent, effectual prayer, you'll be unstoppable. I've been unstoppable for years. I've had people threaten my life. I've had things happen to me that are out of the, I don't even know how I got up there. I just ended up with a brain bleed. My wife said maybe could have had too much aspirin, made it thin, the blood thin. Whatever it was, all I know, they had me booked in there for about 6 months. They were going to milk the old insurance with one CAT scan after another and just stay there and keep me there. And finally I said, no, I'm not staying. They said, oh, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not staying. I'm better. I'm already good enough to walk out of here, and I will. And they kind of got smart with me. So I just said, you know, I just thought I'd let you know. I feel like you're holding me against my will. And when I said that, lawsuits. This is the lawsuit generation. Well, they called Millie, and they were trying to get her to have me committed or something. I don't know how you'd say it. But she said, no, he's of his right mind, and he's going to do exactly what he said. He's going to walk out. He's fine already. He's already fine. That was after how many days? 3 days. I was in there 3 days. They had me booked in there for 6 months, man. And, you know, God said this. Jesus took a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and he fed a multitude. It was a miracle. And you know what he said? It took me a while to get this. He said, all right, now pick up all them scrap pieces. Pick them all up. Let nothing be wasted. Everybody say, let nothing be wasted. Now listen to me. Let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. I was up there, and I was in an elevator with a little Filipino gal who had a husband still over in the Philippines trying to get him over here. He had a baby, a son that he'd never seen. And we had just gone and got a CAT scan, and she said, Angelo, we are talking about you, and we'd like to know. No, we don't understand. How are you so strong? How? We don't understand this. And I said, well, have you ever heard of Jesus? She said, I have. I believe in Jesus. And we were in that elevator, and the Shekinah glory of God came into that elevator. And I spoke the words to her. I've spoken to many, many people. Jim Oprey was the last one. I said, Jim, I feel like the Lord's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and opens their heart, I will come into them. Jim just, I said, I think that's happening to you, Jim. He says, it is. And right there on my north porch on the stairs that he was working on, Jim gave his heart to Christ, and Christ came into his heart. So powerful was that salvation. He said, Angelo, would you take me to the place where you swim and baptize me? And immediately, we got in my side-by-side, and we went and baptized him. That's what happened to that little girl. The glory of God came in there. It's like a cloud. It's like a cloud. It just comes in. And that little girl, she just opened herself to the Lord. And by the time the elevator stopped, she had opened her heart, and Christ came into her life and changed her life. And what does it have with being wasted? Okay, devil, you tried to kill one of my sons. You're going to pay for that. See, the devil, every time the devil messes with me, he's going to pay. He is going to pay big time. Ain't nothing bigger than if you learn how to pray and pray for Jerusalem and pray for your family. See, if you can pray for Jerusalem, you're going to know how to pray for your unsaved loved ones. Let me tell you something. I've declared war on unsaved people around me. I ask everybody that I meet, can I pray for you? And then I ask, what's the most important prayer? How many of you ever heard me say that? I've said it to you. And you know what? If they're not careful, or if God has his way, they'll get saved. They will get saved. They will get saved. Now, I've got just a few minutes to finish this up. Boaz, put me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 14 in the King James translation. We're going to close this a little bit different. We're not going to make, we don't have to drag this out. How many of you are glad you came tonight? How many of you have heard something? Yes. Here's what it says, beginning at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, see, Solomon had just dedicated the temple of God. And he appeared to Solomon in his dreams, and he said, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice, the temple. Now, what's the metamorphosis in the New Testament? Know ye not? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's not a building of stones. It's people's lives that know what it's like to live in this life and have problems and have the devil attack them and everything come against them. And it looks like they're not going to be able to pay their bills or ever get another prayer answered. And right then, right there, the word says, if I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And then he said the most powerful thing. If my people, which are called by my name, will do four things, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's four, that I'm going to hear. Everybody look at me. This is what God's saying to you tonight, Stacy. This is what God is saying to you tonight, Mike. Son, I've heard your prayer. There ain't nothing better. There ain't nothing better than if God hears your prayer. How many people have I worked with and just, oh, how am I going to help? They didn't know whether or not God heard their prayer. I guarantee if you get this, you'll know. See, I didn't think I was getting out of that hospital. I knew I was getting out of that hospital. And they moved me to a room. What was it? Kind of like a hotel thing. It was supposed to be an in-between thing. Like rehab, yeah. Huh? Like a rehab. Yeah. And I was there for an hour, and they said, well, we can't understand this, Mr. Florenciano, but we're sending you home. Why? Well, we got the girl saved. That was that. Guess who just happened to be up there with a big enough vehicle to get me? Casey. She got pop out, and we just drove home. I've been out ever since. That's what God has for you. Each and every one of us need that. Am I right or wrong? Ernie, you feel good enough to serve communion? Frank, would you help, please? Thank you. I'm not going to ask Charles unless he wants to. Okay. Now, this is what we're going to do. We've taken